In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear brethren, because today is Laetare Sunday, which is a Sunday of joy during the time of Lent, I wanted to speak about something that brings great joy to families, and of course that is the married life, husband and wife. Right? Talk about wedded bliss today, happiness between husband and wife. Especially the obligations of the husband toward his wife. Now we know that according to the scriptures, St. Paul speaks about the obligations of husband and wife in his epistle to the Ephesians chapter 5. He says the wife must obey her husband in all things because the husband is the head of the wife. And then he goes on to say that the husband must love his wife as Christ has loved the church. Right? Christ loved the church by dying for the church. So the husband must have this sense of self-sacrifice, of dying to himself in order to love his wife. And too many men just fail to understand this. It's not a sentimental or feminine thing in the man. It's something that takes a lot of strength to think of others first. So the man must see Christ as his example. Our Lord on the cross forgave those who offended him, forgave those who crucified him. The husband must love his wife with the same kind of love. Very forgiving, patient, not bitter, and so on. But as I mentioned so many times before, in order to love, you must know. In order to love someone, you must know all about the person. And in today's society, with the rapidly disappearing distinction between men and women, I think it's very difficult now for the man to know how to love his wife and for the wife to understand how to love her husband. Because they don't understand the differences anymore. Right? A man does not think like a woman. And a woman does not think like a man. Right. So I think we need to go over, first of all, some of the main differences. In order for the husband to be able to love his wife, he has to know how she is different. How is a woman different? In her mentality, in her emotion, in her feelings, in her mind. That will help him so much more to know how to love her. Right? When St. Paul speaks about loving the husbands loving their wives, they must love their wife in the way that they need to be loved, not in the way that they feel. So they have to understand all about her in order to love her correctly. So the general differences between a man and a woman, just to refresh your memories. Men, as you know, are usually physically stronger, although there's sometimes some exceptions, more logical, more objective, more literal in what they say, more aggressive, and less possessive. That these are the main tendencies of men. That's how they are, and you're not going to change it. And women, on the other hand, are more sociable, more conforming, more cooperative, more submissive, and they exert a greater effort to please. They show greater domestic or family activity. They are more emotional and show greater verbal skills. Don't we know? The important thing, though, is that couples getting married should not have too many similar traits. Right? You know, it happens when you put the same side of the magnet together, they repel. Right. So basically, their traits should complement each other. For example, if one is aggressive, the other one should be more passive. If one is not very self-assured, the other one should be. You see? That way they can be their mutual strength, to make up for their mutual weaknesses. Now see, these are general differences. Now, and more in particular, the intellectual differences between men and women. Of course, I was reading a book here concerning a study about boys and girls in school. And I was reading to you the short little paragraph here about boys and girls and their different intellectual ability. We read, age for age, boys and girls average the same intelligence potential. However, test makers have noted that in certain subjects, girls excel, in others, boys are ahead. The favored feminine areas in preschool children are color matching, paper folding, buttoning, tying bows. In grade school, they are reading and language. Boys are better in sense of direction, in anything mechanical, in arithmetic and nature study. Later on in history and the sciences. though girls and boys come out about even in IQ tests, which don't mean that much, by the way, their skills and potentials are still not the same. And then he goes on to say, here as elsewhere, the two sexes are not equal, but equivalent. Neither is superior or inferior, they are just different. So there are a lot of differences. They list many things. They say that males excel in spatial aptitude and mechanical aptitude, intelligence, mechanical comprehension, numerical reasoning, arithmetic reasoning, in ingenuity. That's men. So, and females, on the other hand, excel in dexterity, speed and accuracy of computation, clerical aptitude, speed and accuracy of perceiving details. We'll get into that in a little bit. A verbal or linguistic ability, a speed of reading, naming opposites, analogies, sentence completion, disarranged sentences, learning of artificial language, code learning, and memory. So there's obviously a difference between the two. But now to get down to the basic principles, man is more reasonable. That's just how it is. Man is more reasonable. In other words, he figures things out. Whereas a woman is more intuitive. In other words, she has a kind of an innate or instinctive knowledge. For example, you say, well, how do you know that? And she says, well, I don't know how I know, I just know. You know, and they're very proud of that intuition. But that's the difference there, right? Men are reason. Consequently, women usually have a greater grasp of the details of a problem. Right? They see the details. Whereas men are better able to grasp the entire problem. A man is more factual in his approach. A woman tends to get lost in the details. Doesn't mean it's a sin, it just says how it is. Secondly, women are more adaptable. Why? Because women set out on an effort, on some kind of endeavor, without a plan. Normally it's without a plan. They want to do this, they don't really sit down and write out a whole plan and organization. And then they adapt themselves as the circumstances present themselves. They kind of adapt to the circumstances as things change. Whereas men are just the opposite. Before they enter into some kind of work project or endeavor, they make a plan first. Right? They work according to a preconceived plan and organization. Consequently, it's a lot easier for the wife to adapt to her husband than for the husband to adapt to his wife. And that's why when a man and a woman get married, normally we say that the woman marries into the life of the husband, not the other way around. You marry into your man's wife, your man's life. Right? Therefore, the man better make sure he has a happy life for her. Thirdly, women tend to form quicker, almost instantaneous judgments, like intuitive judgments, whereas men more slowly reason to a logical conclusion. So men are slower to come to a conclusion as to how to deal with something, because they are reasoning more. They are not reacting according to feeling or emotion or just to details, to isolated problems, isolated difficulties in a given problem. For this reason, women are more changeable and men are more stable. As well, for the same reason, women are more frequently wrong, men are more frequently right. Okay, that's mainly because men proceed more so from reason, right? And reason leads to truth, whereas women more easily, more quickly proceed from emotion or feeling, and that easily can betray you. It's not necessarily a sin, it's just that's the basic weakness. And consequently, we could say that women have more of an inclination to rash judge, because they follow by feelings and not by reason when they see something, whereas men tend to be cold and insensitive and less compassionate, because they sometimes proceed without feeling, you see, without compassion toward the feelings of the wife, and that's wrong. And now we want to talk about some emotional differences. Again, remember, pay attention to this, because it'll help you to learn to love your wife, right, you men. It'll help you to understand how you have to love your wife and what's going on inside of her heart and her mind, so you can figure that out. First of all, men are more emotionally stable, whereas women are more emotionally volatile, or should I say unsure of themselves. Their emotions are much stronger. However, the predominant emotion of the man is anger, right? And in that sense, he's very volatile, because men are very impatient and perfectionists, and they want it their way. So that's pride. We'll get into that later. Consequently, first of all, a woman tends to be more suspicious, because she is less secure. Right? So women, therefore, they are in constant need of reassurance with regard to their husband's love. The husband thinks that he can prove his love simply by showing that he's providing for her and for the children, and that he has devotion to his duties, but that's not enough. Not enough for the woman. It's not enough. A woman needs a constant reassurance by words of endearment, by demonstrations of affection. Right? That she is still her husband's first and only love. Right? That's what a woman needs. It's not something optional. A man has to give this to his wife. Right? It's not just something intellectual and cold in the family. Right? He has to show some emotion, not necessarily be romantic. A woman is very romantic. But that has to come out a little bit, you see. She needs that kind of love, an emotional love. Very important for the man to condescend to her needs. Otherwise, it's pride, you see, on the part of the man. Secondly, this is an important point, and it can lead to many difficulties in marriage. A woman too easily, because she is insecure, a woman too easily forms false judgments of her husband's actions, mainly because she tries to read a hidden meaning into his words. You know? And usually it's not there. See, the reason is because men, by nature, speak more literally and more logically. What they say is literal. That's what they mean. They say what they mean. Whereas a woman doesn't do that, right? She very rarely says exactly what she means. No, she's not as logical. She might speak according to what she feels in the moment, you see. And so she's seeing a certain aspect of something. She'll speak this way. And she expects her husband to read between the lines, to see what she's really saying. See? So the husband has an obligation to try to figure out what she really wants. Right? That's his obligation, because that's how women are. They are not as open and clear and literal in the way they speak to their husbands. And then thirdly, women tend to form quicker... Yes, women tend to form a quicker judgment because they follow their emotion more than their logic. And that's just the natural inclination of the woman. Therefore, the man has to realize this difference and not to expect his wife to say exactly what she wants to say. He has to have love and see what she really is meaning to say, right, to read her heart. Whereas, on the other hand, the wife has to realize the husband means normally, literally, what he says. Okay, that's how he says it, and that's what he means. Right. And then we can begin just quickly here. I'm not going to go over the whole thing. We'll end in just a few moments and continue next week. Now, concerning the basic obligations of the husband toward his wife, we see now a foundation of how the husband and the wife are a lot different. And now we can see how the husband is going to need to show his love toward his wife, who is very different intellectually and emotionally and physically. First of all, in reference to the mutual obligations, we'll emphasize more so the husband's obligations. The first thing goes without saying is to have children. A husband and wife get married to have children. And that's his obligation, to want to have a family. Of course, we can't go into everything here, but the general principle, of course, no artificial contraception. And even then, the so-called rhythm or natural or periodic abstinence, according to the churches, the theologians, cannot be practiced unless it's according to the principles of Pope Pius XII. Right? Some modern theologians say, well, the obligation of a family is to have some children. Therefore, if you have five or so, that's enough, then they can just go ahead and practice a periodic abstinence. Well, no, that's not right. You have to have as many children as God wants to send you, of course, with reason. And we can certainly say, the church says that she certainly feels that those parents who have large families and many children are very heroic. So they are very heroic in the eyes of the church, and of course, in my eyes, in the eyes of the priest. It's a wonderful thing to see the heroism of a husband and wife, to have a large family. But of course, be careful too, because what God wants is for you to have as many children as you can raise well, to give back to Him. Right? So remember that love is abstinence. It's not seeking pleasure, but it is giving, self-sacrifice. And that will help to have the proper family balance in order not to be irresponsible in your duties toward having your children. So be generous and receive as a gift from God the children that God will send you. And do not frustrate the plan of God in your family. Right? You will be unhappy if you do. Even though you may have material prosperity, you won't have spiritual happiness, and you won't grow in holiness as God wants. Right? So the mutual obligations, okay, having children, the mutual love. Okay, St. Paul says that the husband must love his wife as Christ has loved the church, and Christ loved the church by dying for the church. Therefore, the husband must have no bitterness, no intimidation, no egotism, no inconsideration or a lack of being sensitive toward her feelings. That's not love, you see. The man needs to love his wife in the way that she needs his love. So she needs to see in him a sense of security and support. That's very important for the man to give that to her. So, for example, it happens so many times after a young couple gets married, maybe shortly after the marriage, 5-6 months, so the man realizes that, I'm married now, and she knows that I love her, therefore I don't really need to come home and give her a kiss anymore, or give her a hug, and I'll just say I love you, or go into the other room. And what happens when the wife sees her husband come home and doesn't come into the kitchen anymore to show some affection? He goes into the other room, goes into the workshop, works on the car. She says, oh, he doesn't love me anymore. You see? And that's what they really feel, right? In other words, a man must try to see things in the way that the wife does see it. Maybe it's not true, but in her mind it is. And that's where the man has to condescend to her needs, to see what she's really feeling, and to make sure that you take care of that, so that she knows that you are her only love in your life. It's very important to do that, because like I mentioned earlier, a woman tends to be more insecure. She needs to have the constant reassurance that the husband loves her. And this is done by many little signs of affection. The simple, innocent things. Flowers. Flowers are always a sign of love, right? A word of consolation. A little gift, right? I'm not talking about gifts that the man wants. A gift that she wants. Sometimes men will give the wife a gift that he can use too, right? Or give her just gifts so that she can work more. New vacuum cleaner, new things like that, you see. But that has its place too. And then there must be mutual help and consolation between husband and wife. You know, it says in Genesis chapter 2 that when God saw Adam alone, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Let us make for him a helper like himself. Make him a helper like himself. Now, what does this mean? Well, St. Thomas says that she is to be his helpmate, not in other works. Not in other works, since man can be more efficiently helped by another man in other works, but rather as a helper in the work of generation, of having children, you see? And that's where the modern society fails, you see? It fails to recognize the truth. Woman is certainly the helpmate, but not in reference to every other kind of work, but in generation. That's where she excels, right? She bears the children. Right? And how many men do not thank their wives for having all those children? Now, if they only went through what the wives go through to have those babies, see, they would appreciate much more their wife. You see, so let the husband appreciate the wife. And sometimes it happens when a wife is expecting, she's afraid to tell her husband because he's going to hate her for it. That's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. It's hatred, you see. Now, you can't blame your wife. No. And it's important, too. Well, the wife wants the husband to love her because she is having his children. See, that's what the love she needs. And it really devastates her when the husband does not love her because of the child she's bearing. She's just devastated, you see. And she'd rather die. Right? So husbands never do that. And if you have a tendency to do that, be sure you get on your knees and ask for humility. Overcome that pride and that lack of love. It's selfish. It's a sign that you are seeking the affection of your wife in marriage for selfish motives, not for the sacrificial motives of sharing your love with children, you know, of giving. Be very careful. And the third, a general obligation, is cohabitation. Cohabit, and we'll end with this today. Cohabitation. That means to live together. You don't get married in order to have two separate apartments on the different side of town. Hopefully the things don't get that bad where that has to happen. No, the marriage is a community life, a conjugal life in a community. The family is a society. They live together, you see. All the children live together in the family. All the families live together in the parish. All the parishes live together in the diocese, and diocese in the archdiocese, and under the Pope. You see how simple it is. And therefore, we must say that it is sinful for a husband to be away from home for any long period of time without a necessity. He cannot be saying, I'm going to go away for a while. No, his obligation is to be home, you see. Of course, he has to work. Sometimes his job may take him away from home for some time, maybe even a longer time, but then it's a necessity. Because so many problems happen at home with the children becoming undisciplined and falling into big problems because the father's not home. And then even the wife will fall into problems because she doesn't have the affection of her husband. You see the problem, right? So let the husband be home with his wife and not put his work first. The wife is first. The work is therefore to support the family. The wife isn't there just for him to be happy when he comes home after work. You see, although you have to find the balance. Some men, on the other hand, say, "Well, I need to be home with my wife. Therefore, I'm not going to work overtime or extra hours or get a second job, even though we need the money." You see, that's an excuse for laziness. Sometimes a man may need to get a second job, maybe even a third job, to make ends meet. And that's a sign of responsibility, and the wife needs to see that in her husband. So let the husband come directly home from work. He doesn't get off work and then his wife says, "Where's my husband? Everything's on the table at 6 o'clock and he's not home yet." Finally, he walks in at 8 o'clock. "Well, I went over so-and-so's house. We played cards a little bit and talked about it." Or it was even worse. "Went over to my brother's house. Went over to see mom, dad." You know, that's a problem. When a man... Well, it says in the Bible, it says a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. So a man must leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Right? His first love now in his life is his wife, not his mom and dad, not his brother or sister or his friends. That's all second now. And how many problems begin in marriages because the husband doesn't come home? He's not being real bad, but he's going out having fun as if he wasn't married anymore, just like he was when he was single. Right? And that's immaturity and irresponsibility on the part of the man. However, the wife must realize that the husband does need recreation, does need time alone and to have some recreation with his other male friends. That's true. So find that balance. So we'll end with this today. Next week we'll see the more particular obligations of the man toward his family, his supporting of his wife, and even disciplining his wife. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.